Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Christy Credit, and very happy to have with us today Ahmed Mustafa. He is the president of the board and the CEO of Northeast Quadrant Advanced Life Support, and they are located in what? Monroe County and Wayne and Livingston counties as well is the where you serve.
Right. So we're based in Webster, and we serve the towns of Webster, Ontario, and Penfield.
Okay. And you are you provide pre-hospital emergency medical services. Is that what you do?
Yeah. So we are EMTs and paramedics, and we are the people when you call 911 that come in an ambulance or with a paramedic fly car, which is an intercept vehicle that meets ambulances in the community that don't have advanced life support. So in New York State, there are two tiers of EMTs. The first is what we call the basic EMT. And these are the folks that typically staff the ambulances. They provide all the initial intervention. So they bring you CPR, they can stop the bleed, they can help manage, fractures and a whole variety of things at what we call the basic level. Very few medications and very little equipment required for that. And then you have the paramedics, and the paramedics basically bring the emergency room to the patient. So the paramedics bring cardiac defibrillators, they bring the ability to either, stop your heartbeat when you're in ventricular fibrillation, like an AED would, mm-hmm. or they can pace your heart like a pacemaker would. We can do that from the outside.
Oh, wow.
We can put a tube in your throat. We can give you one of 60-some medications. We can manage your pain. We can put needles in your chest when lungs collapse. So we bring what we call an advanced level of care, so advanced life support. And so it's a team effort. And in some regions, in some EMS agencies around our area, the paramedics ride with a basic partner, and they have an advanced life support ambulance. In our neck of the woods, a lot of our ambulances are basic ambulances, and then we use what we call a fly car, which is basically a Tahoe, that the paramedic rides on their own, and they meet the ambulances at scenes. Because a majority of the calls we take are basic calls. Someone's not feeling well, someone slipped and fall. And so you don't need a paramedic for all those calls, and you want to keep that, limited resource available for the more priority calls. And so that's how we do it in our neck of the woods.
Okay, that's good to know, because a lot of us, we don't know, the difference. And you've been a paramedic for quite some time, right?
Yeah, going on 25 years this year. Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So do you still get in the car and take the calls and do all that, or are you doing this now?
I consider myself a hands-on leader. I work the Friday night shift routinely and then fill in holes when I can. But I think it's important as a good leader to practice what you preach. And, it allows me to understand when somebody says, this isn't working, or can we do this differently? If you've experienced it and you're doing it, you're like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Or no, this does make sense. And here's what you're not understanding. So I think it gives, any leader that's, still practices, it gives them a lot more credibility.
And how did the Northeast Quadrant of Advanced Life Support, how did that even come about?
Oh, that's a great story. So, again, if you go back 35, 36 years. Actually, let's go back even a little bit further. Go to the 60s. EMS, Emergency Medical Service, didn't exist. It wasn't even an entity. So you think about law enforcement. It's been around since the time when the first pilgrims came over, right? There was always someone to enforce the rules. Firefighting, Benjamin Franklin, right? First volunteer fire departments in the 1700s. EMS as an industry, as an entity, didn't even exist until the 60s. It was created in California, again, to give people the ability to be treated at a scene as opposed to, dragging them all the way to a hospital. And so, in the 60s and 70s, the notion began, and Xerox Corporation here in Webster had a paramedic fly car on their property. And so what they would allow their employees who staff that to do is take the car home on nights and weekends. Because, again, in West Webster, at the time Union Hill, Penfield, Ontario, they were all basic ambulances. And so they needed advanced life support, but nobody was really trained to that level. But Xerox had taken the initiative to train what we called, at that time, Medic 90. And so they allowed people to take Medic 90 home. And the community realized, we need this. And so the West Webster Fire Department, at the time, the Webster Fire Department, the Union Hill Fire Department, Xerox, and a few of the fraternal organizations went out, bought equipment, they bought a fly car, and they created what we call, at the time was Medic 10, which was the inception of the Northeast Quadrant Advanced Life Support. And it basically was a group of volunteers founded in 1988, and they would you know, provide this, you know, life-saving service to meet the basic life support ambulances in the community. And over time, we have grown from a group of volunteers that basically kept trucks parked in a variety of fire stations to now we are 52 employees. We've got 6 fly cars. We have started a new ambulance service called Webster EMS and really grown to, you know, a much bigger organization in 35 years.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, do you have volunteers and people that get paid, or how does that work?
So the day of the volunteer EMT is really going by. I mean,
that's kind of what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. The training required is tough. The calls are getting tough. And people have less and less time. I mean, we see this in the volunteer fire service. We see this in the volunteer EMS industries. So some agencies in our neck of the woods still have a mix of volunteers and paid. Our staff is all fully paid. We did not have enough of a pool of volunteers, and we said, look, you're doing the job anyway. Let's just pay everybody. And that what that does is allows us to schedule, right? When you're a volunteer, you don't have a whole lot of leverage. They come and go as they please. They do what they need to do. And it's hard to make sure that you have 2 ambulances and 2 fly cars staffed 24/7. And by, you know, building a schedule and staffing, we're able to do that.
And you, you're growing too, because you're starting a new building.
Yeah. So one of our challenges here in Webster is for the longest time, and you know, it was through the goodness of the fire departments, they used to let us park our fly cars, one in the West Webster Fire District and one in the Webster Fire District. But over time, as they renovated buildings and they had more demand for space, there just wasn't room for us. And EMS is its own entity, right? Its own animals. We have different equipment, different supplies. We run different calls. And so we moved into a location at 780 Ridge Road that Dan Biola helped us acquire more than 10 years ago. But it was really a tough spot. It doesn't have sleeping quarters. It doesn't have a kitchen. And you think, you know, here are the men and women that are out there to save your lives, and we're asking them to, you know, to sleep in easy chairs and microwave their food. And so after 3.5 years of fundraising, we found a spot on Jackson Road. And just this fall, we broke ground on an 11,000-square-foot dedicated EMS base. So it'll be the first one in the town of Webster that will be purely for emergency medical service.
That's fantastic. I did watch a little bit of the time-lapse video.
It's so exciting. I go there every morning at 7:45.
Do you really? To videotape what's happened?
Well, and you know, Kate, it's just amazing, Christy, to really sit and think. I have been part of this organization since my family and I moved here 20 years ago. We have been what we call nomads, right? We've always been kind of begging and borrowing, and to finally be in a position where we can build our own base. And, you know, it's a pretty big investment in a fairly sizable loan. We don't get a whole lot of community support in the form of taxes like some of our other first responder brethren do in Monroe County. So, you know, we had to save money. We had to take out a very hefty loan. Senator Helming has given us a nice grant to help. But, you know, it was a big move for us to do this. And then COVID hit, and you're wondering, is this the right time to do it? But the reality is there is never going to be a perfect time. We're never going to have enough money,
right?
And we need it, right? Right now we can't, you know, EMS never stopped when this pandemic came, right? Fire departments kind of, you know, turned down some of their responses. They stopped going on some of the EMS calls. Some of our law enforcement brothers stopped coming on some of the EMS calls just so they could be safe and used for what they needed to do in a daily basis. But EMS, we never stopped, right? We have been going nonstop since January, and there's no end in sight. And so, you know, I basically came to the decision that with our board that our people need a place to call their own. They need a place where they can space out and they can eat and they can rest and they can respond and train. And we're very, very excited. I'm thrilled.
That's fantastic. You can donate right on your website. You can look at the video too, NEQALS.org, if you would like to check that out. Special people become EMS and paramedics. I kind of think that.
I think so too, Christy. You know, I tell people you have to have a certain mindset because you deal with people on their worst days in pain and suffering. And, you know, the challenge we face is, you know, as you saw, we had a pretty horrific accident here in Irondequoit last night. You know, you go on a bad call and it's not like you can say, well, I'm going to go home and take the rest of the day off. You get up, you saddle back up and you go on the next call and it could be another bad call. And, you know, this is what I think, you know, the general community doesn't always have sight of because, you know, we can't talk about the calls we go on. We're, you know, limited in our discussions by HIPAA and by confidentiality. And, it's, you know, we go on a host of very, very complicated calls. And at the end of the day, you know, you sit and you say, you know, I'm making less than somebody at Starbucks. Is this really the right industry? And it is a very special group of people that become EMTs and paramedics in our region.
Do you find it hard to get people to come work for you, or it's just a passion they have?
Well, it's both. So we do get people who find it as a passion or think it's a passion. And what we are finding is that, you know, you get that one bad call and they're like, this isn't for me. Or they do it for a little while. And, you know, depending on the region, in Webster, we have a good mix of calls. We have, we don't run a ridiculous amount every day. You get to come back to your base. But there are other agencies which are running 10 and 12 calls in a 12-hour shift. It's exhausting. It's backbreaking work. You're not making a tremendous amount of money. And people say, look, I can make more money doing less work somewhere else. And we lose them. And, you know, I think what people don't understand is we have got to get emergency medical service recognized as the healthcare providers that we are. We have to get community support like other first responder agencies do so that we can get some tax money and we can, you know, afford to give people, you know, enough salary so they're only working one job. You know, Christy, if you and I were to go out and meet some of our colleagues, very few of them work one 40-hour job. In fact, I would say almost nobody that does EMS as a career works anything less than 80 hours because the wage that we can afford to pay them is just not there. Whereas I look at other friends of mine, my own peers that are similar in age to me, you know, late 40s, early 50s, they're retiring from fire and law and nursing, and because they've earned a great wage, they've got pensions they contributed to, there are unions that are helping them. You know, that doesn't exist in the EMS world.
So how do you get that going?
Well, you know, part of it is through discussions like you're giving us today, and it's awareness, right? I think EMS for the longest time, we've just kind of run under the radar.
Right.
But you look at some of the communities, including, you know, mine, we give some of the first response agencies in the town of Webster $13.5 million. We give EMS $50,000.
Wow.
I mean, that's a huge, you know,
that's a huge difference, yeah.
Yeah. In Irondequoit, you know, they give them $19.5 million to fire and police. They give zero to EMS.
Wow.
It doesn't make sense, right?
No.
EMS is at, and, you know, we're not saying take away, but, you know, EMS should be considered a vital, essential service, just like our law enforcement and our firefighting brethren and 911 and doctors and nurses. But people don't think about us. They pick up the phone, an ambulance shows up, and that's the end of their thought process. But we need to raise awareness that EMS is struggling. COVID has been very, very hard on us because emergency medical services, Christy, we only get paid when we transport a patient. So if we stand by all day and we don't take any calls, then in 60 days, we have no revenue, right, when the billing would come through. But in the meantime, we're still having to pay staff. We're still having to pay for equipment and mortgages.
Right, because they have to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have to be there. And so we say that, you know, fire and police, they're paid to stand by. So whether they take a call or not, the tax base is saying, we want you to be at the ready all the time. And whether we need you or not, we want you to be there. Well, EMS has to be regarded in the same way, which is, you know, we don't need you to cover our whole budget, but there needs to be some contribution to say that on the days when you aren't taking calls, you can still make ends meet. You know, if many agencies in New York State, if we had not had access to that payroll protection loan this year, we would have lost EMS agencies throughout the state of New York. And
then what would we do, right?
Yeah. Then what would you do? Exactly,
yep.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
Right.
Is that like, yep, that this state, or is it all over the country?
No, it's not. So it's interesting. If you read some of the EMS blogs and Facebook pages and things, it varies by state. So in New York State, here's a surprising tidbit. In New York State, in the law, emergency medical services isn't even an essential service. The only two things a town must provide by law are fire and police. And so, you know, we have got to get in New York State, EMS has to get in the statutes. We have to be recognized as an essential service, and then we can form ambulance districts, and we can collect tax monies, and we can, you know, do things to,
right,
help, you know, stabilize our revenue. The difficulty is, if I was to show you a chart of mine of our calls in March and April, when COVID really was at full swing and we were shut down, some of us were taking no calls in a day. Well, we had ambulances up and people staffed, and so in May and June, when that revenue was expected and didn't come, it created quite a problem for us.
Right.
And that shouldn't happen. And now you look at some of the CARES Act money and things that, you know, the county got, it went to the police departments, it went to the fire departments, it went to the towns. $0, zero went to EMS.
That were standing by every day.
That are standing by and taking calls. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, we're in a pandemic, right? We aren't having forest fires, we aren't having,
right,
riots, right? And when we do, you know, the fire departments and police departments and, you know, other first response agencies, they've got budgets. They've got you know, in many cases, they've budgeted in their annual budgets, you know, overtime response and things like that. Mm-hmm. We don't have that flexibility. But we have been asked to be at the ready for the last, you know, 12 months with very, very little support from the government.
Right. And very little PPE. You didn't even have any given to you, right?
Well, fortunately, the county, our director of EMS, Tim Sopransky, has done a fantastic job in getting us some, because initially, you're right, we were kind of forgotten about.
Yeah.
The Monroe County director of EMS was able to acquire some from us. You know, it's in tight supply, so we don't want to get greedy with it, and we take it when we need it. But I'll tell you, you know, recently our suppliers have said all our pricing contracts and things on gloves and masks and gowns are off. It's basically a free market situation every day, and our costs are going through the roof. Well, we can't just raise our ambulance rates and our paramedic rates just to cover costs. People will balk, right? And so what we see is our margins become thinner and thinner as our costs go up and our call volumes fluctuate. It's a tough mathematical equation every day.
Right? It is every day. And you know what? You are fighting the fight, definitely. And we appreciate you being there for all of us. We have been talking to Ahmed Mustafa, the CEO and president of the Northeast Quadrant of Advanced Life Support. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. It was a great conversation, and
was.
I appreciate it.
You definitely opened our eyes. And I know that you're still going to fight the fight and work on this. And I know that you're still going to be there to help people that are fighting for their lives, too. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much.
And you can find out more at NEQALS.org.
Yeah. And if you don't live in Webster or Penfield or Ontario, I encourage you to look up your local EMS agency, because they, just like us, also need your support. So please, you know, find your agency in town, check out their websites, and most of them will accept donations on their sites as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Christy.